Shall we, you guys ready? A little early mail sack today.
Yep.
Definitely going to carry over. It's going to be two sacks here today.
Okay.
Dick Burns right out of the gate wants to know, hey, guys, mail sack question. Is mayonnaise acceptable to put on a hot dog? Also, if you're the GM of the Blazers, what do you do this offseason? So very divergent questions that you can take in separate paths. No, mayonnaise is not acceptable on a hot dog. And I like mayonnaise. I don't like. I tolerate mayonnaise. So no, that's the answer there is no. White creamy substances, good on hot dogs, though. Cream cheese?
What?
Cream cheese is delightful on a hot dog.
When do you put cream cheese?
You never had cream cheese on a hot dog?
I'm just asking, like, you get
that's
cream cheese
Seattle
out of...
That's the Seattle style of hot dog.
I've had it, but, like, at home?
I don't do it at home, but it's delightful when I eat one.
So if it's on a menu, you will order it?
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should do it at home. I don't know why I don't. I find it amazing. You toast the bun a little bit. Get a nice juicy brat, put a little cream cheese on there. Big fan.
That's one that you need, though, other things like grilled onions.
Grilled onions
some,
are great.
Crispy bacon bits.
So cream cheese okay with you, mayonnaise no.
Yeah.
Unless it's pimento cheese with mayo. Then you're in. Because you didn't know there were mayo in
You're never living that down.
The cream cheese thing is interesting. I love cream cheese. You had a cream cheese and bagel this morning you
love
walked in with.
Love cream cheese. I could eat cream cheese every day.
My problem with cream cheese is I don't prepare enough ahead, so my cream cheese is cold, and it just, my bread rips, and I just get stuck.
You gotta toast that bun, man. You gotta get a hard bun.
Yeah, no, I still have the problem, though, when it's cold. Cream cheese doesn't spread very well.
Leave it out of the fridge for a while.
You kind of have to bring it out for
lukewarm
about 40 minutes.
Lukewarm cream cheese.
Yeah, well, and for the, yeah, for
a
the
little
usage,
more applicable.
For sure.
If you're the GM of the Blazers, what do you do this offseason? Find anybody to take Jeremy Grant, trade Anfernee Simons, and pray that Robert Williams has a decent enough physical that you can trade him.
I mean, come on.
One, two, and three. Bingo, bingo, bingo.
What do I do? One, what dictates this is where the ball falls for the lottery. Where am I picking? If I'm largely where I'm at, I mean, look, man, they kind of poo-pooed going after the next swing on a young player. They did not lose in the manner of, like, if I would have told you all the numbers from these players were the same, you'd want Scoot and Shaden to have better numbers. But if I told you largely all the stats remain unchanged for all the players, but they lose six more games, are we upset?
Probably not. How much does six wins change your lottery odds? Because I know it would jump you ahead of Phoenix for sure, jump you ahead of San Antonio.
Yeah.
Let me see where Toronto was. Hold on. Googling. Six fewer wins would put you at 30. That you would have the same record as Toronto. You'd be in a tiebreaker with Toronto.
And you'd have what? That's the seventh?
Give me seven more losses. Then no, I'm not complaining.
So same stats, seven more losses, and you're just behind Brooklyn. So you have the seventh worst record in the NBA, which is kind of where I thought they might be, is between five and seven.
Yeah, where your odds are, 7-8% for the number one overall pick.
Higher,
and 8% at the two or three or four.
If they're going to tell me that taking swings on young players and hoping for the best, and I think that largely comes from, by the way, that Scoot is not becoming what they thought, and Shaden has been so up and down, I just don't think they're going to outright say that because they just drafted them. I'm probably looking to trade, but I would have traded a lot a long time ago, and they don't do that. So
status quo Blazers.
I would look, if they're not going to care about the draft the way we thought they would, I would look to trade. But they also love to tout rookie scale contracts. We hear that term a lot.
Got to have those rookie scale deals with $50 million coming off the books. You got to have those cheap contracts on the books.
I'd call Phoenix.
Booker? I would too. We don't need another guard though. We got two superstar guards. Well, three technically.
You give them young
the
players that haven't been signed to big extensions, so you free up financials. You send Phoenix an Anfernee Simons or a Jeremy Grant for the money part, and you give them a couple draft picks. Like I'd be in on that.
That would take actual swinging.
Devin Booker, Denny Avdija, Donovan Klingon, Tumani Kamara. Figure out the guard thing. Devin Booker brings up the ball half the time for the Phoenix Suns anyway.
That he does, Bob. Mail sack question. What is on your bucket list for sports venues, stadiums, ballparks, or arenas?
Ooh.
This one's a pretty
Madison
easy.
Madison Square Garden Christmas Day is a dream.
That's a dream for
I
you?
I want to be in New York for Christmas one time.
Now, is it just a specific, like, is that on your your bucket list no matter what, or just Christmas Day? Like, if I sent you to an MSG game in February.
It's on a bucket list.
Still on the list.
Like, the real bucket is
Christmas Day.
Is a Christmas Day. Get my Kevin McAllister on, lose my wife,
yeah,
wonder
around,
where she's at.
Find a pigeon lady.
Wrigley. Fenway.
Wrigley Fenway have to be on there.
Yeah.
For me, the other one that I've always wanted to go to is a January game at Lambeau.
Mm.
Cold.
My brother-in-law did
snowing,
that. It was snowing.
Like, I just, that's
the Seahawk-Packer game a couple years ago.
Near the high of the top of my list.
He said it lived up to the hype.
Just Lambeau, dude. Yeah. The frozen tundra. God, that'd be great. And then maybe like an SEC night game atmosphere, like an LSU game, an Iron Bowl.
An Iron Bowl would
something
be cool.
Along those lines would be pretty cool. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lambeau's up there. Fenway was amazing when I went several years ago.
Jealous.
Want to go to Wrigley. Definitely want to go.
See a day game. I think I'd want to do a day
game
in
at
Chicago.
Wrigley.
Yeah.
Night matches at the U.S. Open tennis tournament in Flushing Meadow.
I could have been a ball boy. One of my big regrets in life.
Kramer beat you out?
Didn't show up to the thing. Because I did ball boying for this tournament we had in Portland.
Yeah.
And that would have given me an in to go try to be a ball boy for the U.S. Open. And I was like, man, I'd rather
go
play
tennis. Is
tennis
dying, by the way?
What?
I feel like every time I'm like near a park now, all the tennis courts have essentially been turned into pickleball courts.
I mean,
I think recreationally, yes.
Yeah, it's dying.
Tennis is becoming more, you got to have money.
I mean, just the clonking of the pickleball. Every time I walk through the park, there's like 800 seniors in there
playing
pickleball.
It shouldn't
pickleball.
Be a money sport, though. The courts are all free. The balls are
that
cheap.
Is, but
tennis balls are cheap. You just get a racket. But,
but to be competitive, like to actually
to be good, yeah.
Yeah.
The club stuff.
You're that. I would love the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black this year.
That's going to be awesome.
Why don't you go?
You can pay Bethpage Black for, what, $100, I think?
Well, if you're...
Why don't you go, though?
That's going to be expensive as hell.
It's going to be
your kid is grown. Yeah, you don't have massive
debt. You got a cheap mortgage, low interest rate. You're doing fine over there, Swigard.
You're 53, man.
Take all that hops money. Go to the Ryder Cup. Be a field reporter from the Ryder Cup.
The bucket list is the most real is for you right now.
Ryder Cup, that's a really good one. A Ryder Cup on home and away soil would be all. Like,
I want to go to a European one.
Go to a European
one. And be the ugly American who loves everybody.
USA! USA! Wearing some like eagle costume with big wings.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be if St. Andrews. I mean, if you've got a Ryder Cup at St. Andrews, that'd be unbelievable.
Okay, most of us actually still really like you guys. We're still allies. We just, it's not us representing
not
that
us,
thought,
man.
You know?
Mail sack question, are you guys egg snobs? We started getting free farm fresh eggs from our friends last week. It's night and day compared to what we get at the store.
Your yolks, if the darker they are, the happier the bird is, the less stressed the bird is. That's an indicator of a good egg. So
we need a dark yolk. That's what I'm looking for.
The darker the yolk, the better the egg.
The more golden and... Yeah.
The orange gold is hue. You're
now that's just
for.
The way that the health or the way that they died, or the you know the is it like a petrified bird? Or like just happier in general?
You think chickens die when
that was
lay
a pretty
eggs?
Dumb thing to say? That's not what I was thinking. I just was going along the lines of happier, like
well,
just in general health, like what are living
not,
conditions.
So a lot of it's dictated on a lot of elements, but like stress and anxiety and. Not being comfortable, like when you buy the cheap ass eggs, which I know no eggs are anymore cheap. You buy the cheapest eggs, usually those yolks are a very, very bright yellow,
pale
color. That's probably a bird living in a cage, not living a good life whatsoever. It's just existing to give us eggs and meat.
Now, does it taste better with a darker yolk?
Yes.
Yeah.
You actually do taste a difference.
Taste
with
the difference
yolk.
With the dark yolk.
I've been an egg snob for 5 years now. Mm. I spent, and that's the funny thing about egg prices. Everybody's like, man, these eggs are so expensive. Look, I'm not a rich in any way. The egg prices have largely been the same for me the entire journey.
Because you've been buying fancy eggs.
I buy fancy eggs. I got a friend who has chickens on their farm. We watch their kids, so sometimes we exchange daycare for eggs. I'm definitely an egg snob, yeah.
Exchanging eggs. Look at you.
I got to go get eggs today.
Get your eggs, man. Get your eggs on.
Pasture-raised
eggs.
Pasture-raised eggs.
Okay.
It's the way to go.
I'm not an egg snob. Now I know what to look for in my yolk. I got to check out my yolks.
Dark yolk.
Find my dark yolk.
Happy Egg is a company. It's a yellow carton. You may see them from time to time. Those yolks tend to be a really good color.
Okay. Yeah. Find your dark yolks. Here's a good one. Sack continues. Mail sack primarily for Sprague, but open to all thoughts.
Okay.
Young father here. My son is in his first year T-ball in kindergarten. And this young father says, I am already over having to attend every dang birthday party for every kid.
Oh, man.
His birthday is in July. I wasn't aware of the social contract that you had to invite and attend every kid's parties starting at his party. I just want to invite a select group, but other friends. tell me that's a bad idea. Any thoughts, pros and cons for the young dads out there?
Yeah, so
this will be a thing I have to deal with relatively soon.
We have learned that I believe our school basically bans invitations to birthday parties unless the whole class gets them.
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I don't want people attending parties. I don't want a bunch of snot-nosed kids running around my kid's birthday party.
No, I'm saying, like, you can't go and give your best bud a birthday invitation because the whole class should get one.
Everybody's got to get it.
Because they're going to feel left out or not liked or anything like that. So it's kind of ridiculous. There's a social structure in society. You're going to get disappointed. We need to be building these kids up and say...
We do.
You're not cool right now.
No, a lot of kids aren't always going to be at your party.
No.
They don't care about your birthday.
Yeah, Tina doesn't like you. You're not going to Tina's birthday party. My kid just had a birthday party she went to this weekend, and I will tell you this. At the beginning, it sucks. It blows. It's like your Aunt Eileen, like, when's the birthday this weekend? And then they're showing up, and they're bringing the gift your kid's not going to like because they think they'll like it. And then also you've
That's just more crap you got to deal with in the house.
Little Timmy's parents are coming over, and Timmy's parents are very socially awkward. And it's like, did you see that game? I don't watch sports.
Cool. Good talk.
All right. I'm going to go check the dogs.
Check the grill.
We don't eat that food. It's just like you're dealing with a lot. And so, like, it sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. But what I would say is young dad advice, okay? Yeah. When your kid turns about 7 to 8, stop it. You say, drop off. You indicate it. You let the parent know. 2-3 hour party.
Tell me what
off.
Time I'm picking them up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. And so this weekend, my kid, who's 8, she's going to be 9 soon, one of our neighbors goes to her school, is in her class, their best buds, literally walked down the road. Left her, we had 3 hours to ourselves. Yeah. I'm not hanging out at a birthday party.
No, what? So you're saying at 7 that can end? Can it end sooner than that?
If you really want to set a standard, 6 is a little young.
A little young.
But if you do it right at your own house, you can say, hey, parents, 3 hour party. And that's going to feel like a lot, by the way.
Sure, you got to suck it up for the 3 hours.
But if you also don't want to deal with the social interaction of parents you're not friends with, 3 hour drop off.
Okay.
And you can come pick your kid up, and then you do the quick goodbye. And
Mail sack question. What is the weirdest or most confusing movie you've ever seen, or one that once it was done, you thought, what did I just watch?
Tenet.
What the hell just happened?
Christopher Nolan. Barton Fink. That Tenet. Movie was awful.
Barton Fink?
See, you have a takeaway of awful. They're saying, what's the most confusing movie?
I did not know what was going on.
Tenet.
I never saw Tenet or Inception.
Christopher Nolan. You never seen Inception?
I've never seen Inception, no.
Christopher Nolan, I think, is the best director. Certainly arguments for others is in there. I can't tell you how excited I was for Tenet based on some previews.
Seemed like a really big deal.
I saw it stoned and not stoned, and I don't know if I understood it more when I was high or not high. I don't know what that movie was about.
Yeah.
Rewinding time to change the I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it just ends.
It just was the weirdest, dumb movie I've ever seen in my life, and it's one of the greatest directors I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's one of the best of all time. Mailsack question, if Phil Knight was never in the equation, but all other Oregon alumni in history remain the same, is there any chance they're in the Big Ten today? Because I'm not even sure they'd be in the Big 12. I don't think there's a program in America that is more indebted to one single man than Oregon to Phil Knight. Probably not. I don't know.
I would say I probably agree with that. They'd be a good program, but I don't. They wouldn't be what this is. And
probably not in the Big 12, sure. I'm not saying they're in the Big 12. I don't know about that. Also, I love coming from a Husky fan while your coach is openly begging for donations from Fortune 500 companies in Seattle. And if you don't get them, he said we're in a lot of trouble. So,
well,
have fun.
I think what's interesting is what is the trajectory if Phil hops out of that in like 97? He started it around 95-ish, right? That's when everybody tells you.
He gets cold feet and he's just out.
What if he's just like, I'm done. I'll give you guys a little bit, but I don't think I'm going to fully go in on this.
I mean, they're not where they're at today, for sure. Does that make people feel better?
I didn't ask the question.
I love when Husky fans drive that in. It's so funny.
They're going to beat you one year.
We used to be great. We used to be so good.
Damon Williams is going to beat you in Seattle, and they're going to have a field day
that
Monday.
We got a half of a championship.
I mean, they got one, so.
A half of one. Mailsack, more for dirt. If you start chafing while walking around on a hot day, do you shut it down or keep walking and play through the pain? It's a great question.
I'm glad mine's about kid birthday parties.
It's a great question.
About groin chafing.
Chafing is a very serious thing. Happens a lot when you play golf. Baby powder. Baby powder, baby powder, baby powder. Now that I have a baby and powder is in my house, baby powder, baby powder, baby powder. Shove it down your pants. Pour it down your pants. Solves everything. It's delightful. Anytime you got to walk around with ham hock thighs on a hot day, baby powder.
got a real uncomfortable image of your wife just you and Teddy laying just on your backs,
holding
together,
my shorts out. Dump it, babe. Dump it, babe. Mail sack question.
Thank you.
Woo, I feel better now. Mail sack. I was getting emotional watching Rory finally break through on Sunday. Can you think of any other sports memories that made you emotional or brought you to tears?
So I also
Sunday did. I cried on Sunday.
I didn't cry, but I got dusty.
I wasn't bawling. But there's welled up.
And for you, I expect that. I didn't expect that from me because I like Rory. I root for Rory. I'm not obsessed with the sport of golf the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I can think of, maybe the Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl, because I had a pretty good bet with a buddy, and that pick just made me so happy I might have had a tear. Definitely the LeBron-Cleveland title.
Yeah, that's a good one. Him winning the title in Cleveland, I think I teared up with that.
That was, I mean, I'm a LeBron guy, so like that
I
was
I hated
just,
the Warriors at that
yeah,
point, too, and it was
same.
Just a combo of both of those.
Klay Thompson basically suggesting LeBron's a bitch,
yeah.
And then him hearing that. And then, like, the sunglasses Zoom press conference he did where it's just like...
Yeah.
And then he wore the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt to go to the parade.
He did.
And then made Michael Jordan make the last dance because he's like, oh, my GOAT status might be in question.
Yeah, 73-win team. I just beat him in the finals.
All of that was, yeah. like, probably... I remember being emotional over that.
That's a pretty good one. Tiger winning in 19 did it for me, too. Just seeing him win again, hugging Charlie at the end, that was a pretty cool moment.
The Braves in 21.
Your teams, I think, will always
good.
Make you emotional.
God, that
yeah.
felt good.
Yeah. Feels good when you win a World
Get
Series.
Get you one
man.
Of these in the 2020s.
Huh? There you go.
People. One of these.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have a winning record.
Well,
you know,
we're trying.
I mean, efforting.
Only a couple games back.